Hi, I'm Tam.
And I'm Eternally Mortal.
And this is the Hidden Egg Podcast, where we talk about vulnerability.
And stuff, and things. And boops.
Aw, boop.
Boop. Look at the boop.
Look at the boop. Well, people that are listening can't look at the boop, but there's this cute little dog on the chat that Sturge put up in a GIF, and it's being booped. And then it licks the boop, and it's adorable. Mm,
yeah, you lick the boop when you're a puppy. That's just the thing.
That's just a thing. Okay, so this episode, what is this, episode 6?
Yep, we're on episode 6 of season 4.
So this episode, the theme, what did we decide the theme was? I remember had a theme.
Actually, the theme for this episode is going to be loss.
Loss, right.
The articles that Tam and I found this week, we found 3 pretty powerful articles that we really resonated with, and they just all kind of like revolved a bit around loss. And we also have quite a few shout outs to do first, though.
Yes. Yes, we do. So I didn't coordinate the order with you, so I guess that's why you really needed the screen share, huh?
No. I just remembered that it was a thing and then it wasn't happening. And that's all. I didn't think about that. But yeah, I was going to let you go in whatever order you want. I've got all of them up on my screen,
so
too.
So the first one, I'm going to shout out to Ben Ulansey for his article about what if the aliens think we're dinosaurs? It's a perspective shift for some people. For me, I like immediately was like, oh yeah, I didn't think about that, but that would make perfect sense. And had a conversation with him before I even read the article. And he's like, wow, you just got that from the title. Like, okay, well, some people might already have this perspective, but I think the majority of people don't really think about it. So that makes it a really great read, I think, to shift perspectives.
Yeah, it was a really cute conversation, and I honestly hadn't come across the article until I saw that conversation, and so I didn't even really get the opportunity to see how long it would take me to get it. But
sorry,
but reading the article was amazing. Like, it was so well written to lead you through the entirety of the concept of how I don't want to say perspective, that's not the right word, but like relativity. I don't even think relativity is the right word. Just distance, just the sheer distance and how it would look to people, to aliens far away, for this planet. It was just so well crafted, in my opinion.
Well, you kind of gave away the perspective, but that's fine.
Oh, well, we're talking about it, but okay, yeah, you're right.
Whoops. It's fine. We'll move on. It's a good article. Go read it.
Yeah. Whoops.
Then there was this one's the one that I don't think you actually read. Oh, yeah. Ben's article is in Sturge's Pub. I didn't think about that. Is it? Oh, yeah, it is in the Random Nerdiness Collective. That's true.
Check out that pub.
Check out that pub. So then there's the one, Cristalla Rosina, and her article, The Camera Never Lies. Who Are They Kidding? And she published it in my pub, Monster Cafe. And I read it, and I really enjoyed that perspective. It's another perspective piece. Where, like, some of the things that we take for granted, like, particularly what she's talking about is cameras and whether or not they actually tell you the truth. You know, that whole, a picture's worth a thousand words, and, you know, if it happened on camera, then it must be true or whatever. But, like, there's a lot of stuff you can do with perspective and lighting, even before getting to the editing. And right. She just kind of goes into all of that and is like, is it really the worst thing to have some touch-ups in a freaking picture that bring out who, like, what you really look like in person?
Yeah, absolutely. Also, Ben's here.
Oh, hi, Ben. Oh, hi, Mark.
We just talked about the aliens, the dinosaurs. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Sorry. So. So that's
why would you assume that they were kind words? I don't understand. but yeah, perspective and being able to edit your pictures is what you were talking about. And yeah, I think that creating what you want to portray to the world is always amazing. That's a form of art.
Yeah.
If you just want to take like a bare photo, that's a different form of art. That's all.
Well, I mean, there's the whole argument about like how much photoshopping is too much, and you know that they take it to an unnatural degree where our expectations of beauty are like forever scarred. And I'm like, yeah, those things are definitely true, and I totally am on board with like there is a limit, but I think we need to like as a society kind of agree on what that limit is. To me personally, my limit is if when I look at the original picture and I look at the altered picture, if I feel like I've been lied to by looking at those two and like they are so different that I can't even see like it feels like a misrepresentation, that's my line. But that's so subjective.
It is, but it, you know, that's the way that it's gonna,
Right.
and I guess it's just it's like one of those things you're gonna, if you're gonna put yourself out there in a certain regard, you have to expect that some people are gonna want to criticize it, because they're just A, there's trolls, and B, there's just people that haven't really come out of their own perspective in certain regards and get triggered by things.
Right.
So, you know, I guess it's just gonna happen.
Yeah.
It
So
happens.
it was a phenomenal article also. Not, I don't know if it was super vulnerable technically, but like, you know, it's still a great article, and that's why I wanted to shout it out. And then there was Ute Lippertz's second article. So we have two articles by Ute this episode, and we had to choose one because it just didn't seem right to have two of them be the main. So this was the kind of the week's runner up. It's a really, it almost like it was almost difficult to make the decision. But the bestest boy was just shy of the one we ended up choosing,
Which we'll get to later on in
which
the
we'll get
episode.
to.
But yeah, this one was, this one made me feel a lot, because it was so caring and understanding. Like, it was so deep about being there for another entity in a way that no one has to, but it's always beautiful when you are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I like Ute, so just, you know, in the middle of the shout out, I'm going to take this little aside. Ute has this specific ability in her writing that when she's vulnerable, she's not so much vulnerable about herself as she is vulnerable as a sort of voice for her animals, if that makes sense.
Right. What
It's like
she
she
sees and portrays from for her animals is so revealing.
Right, like she empathizes with her animals, and it's that part is very obvious from everything that she writes. But then she like translates that into the article, and it's a very unique kind of vulnerability that I don't see a whole lot. But it, like I just want to point that out, 'cause like her articles, all of them are awesome, but The Bestest Boy was definitely one that I was like, that's what her skill is. That's what she does.
Right. And I want to point out real quick that the main character of this story is Pablo, and we're going to see Pablo again later in the episode. Because I'm going to mention him, is what I'm saying. You know. Cool.
So, and then there's the very last shout out before we get to the actual stuff. And that was by Paco Taylor. And it was the 10 most totally traumatizing PG rated movies that Generation X watched as kids.
Yeah, and it was a hilarious run through of some really like deep and dark movies from like the mid-70s to the early 80s.
I'll be honest with you, like half of them I had never either I hadn't heard of them or I just hadn't seen them.
So
That's
we're
okay.
technically, you and I are at the very beginning of Gen Y and millennials, and
Yeah.
this article was very Gen X centric,
Yes.
to where I, you know, if Paco Taylor is upset that us millennials are talking about it, I totally understand, and we millennials suck. It's totally true.
Yeah, like
Anyway,
Sturge says, we're kind of Xennials.
yeah, but definitely a lot of these movies were a little bit before my time in such a way that I never got to them. They were classics that I've heard of, except for one. One was completely new to me. But then other ones weren't really as traumatic to me as was all. Like, honestly, sorry to call
Oh,
out one
yeah.
specific,
Near
but I love the Dark
Dark
Crystal. And I
Crystal.
loved the Dark Crystal as a child. And yes, Skeksis were scary as all get out and fuck, but my God, did I love the Gelflings. They
Okay,
were
but
like.
you do remember that when we were watching it with the
Yeah, I do.
intention of sharing it with our child, we realized halfway through the movie, this is not something that is age appropriate for them. I don't
Yeah.
think we ever introduced Kai to the Dark Crystal.
I think that they just kind of lost interest after a certain point. And, like,
Right.
you know, media is very specific
Yeah.
nowadays. But anyway, yeah. It was hilarious article though. Like, all the way through, I was laughing at multiple different points. It was delightful.
And this goes to show what great taste we have and or what great taste Sturge has that he's read all of these already.
Course.
One
I
day,
expect
one day.
that.
We will bring an article to you that you have not seen. I guarantee it. We will. You haven't seen
No.
this?
No, he hadn't seen this article, but he had seen all of the
Oh, okay.
movies.
He's seen all the movie. I see. I see. Well,
Sturge is
then
also
we're
more
already
cultured than
starting. He is more cultured than us. Way
us.
more cultured. I don't, you
Yeah.
know what? I just came across Paco recently myself, so
Yeah.
yeah. On the radar now.
Yep, and that, I believe, concludes our
That
shout-outs. Am I
concludes the
correct?
shout outs. So now we're on to the first one, which is Ute Lippert's is the winner of this week's episode. Not the winner of like all of them, but like out of the two that we had from her, this one was definitely more vulnerable. It made you cry.
Okay, so a little peek behind the curtain. For some of the articles that we look over for choosing for to talk about on the podcast, I'd like to read some of them out loud if neither one of us had read it yet. And I literally like had to stop a couple of times reading this one because the emotions hit me too hard and I couldn't control my voice.
Yeah, the last couple of paragraphs, especially.
So this is called Grieving Pets, subtitle The Depth of Animal Emotions. And so you can get a bit of a sense for what it's about. And also, you could say that Ute maybe had a little bit of an advantage, or maybe we had a little bit of a bias because we've recently lost all of our long-term pets, recently in the past couple of years, let's say. And it's still, I mean, we loved our furball creatures dearly, and we miss them so much to this day. And so reading about, because they didn't all die at once, one died at a time, and God, I feel terrible talking about it this lightly. Anyway, our last cat that stayed with us until just about a year ago now,
Yeah.
even though he was always kind of aloof in a certain regard, we could tell that he really missed Mew when Mew passed. And it was, I mean, just talking about it now is making me gonna fucking cry. So but so anyway, the whole idea of this article was really, really, really touching. And I was really charmed by the mention of Pablo, the dog from the previous article that we talked about, because this was talking about all of Ute's pets and how they've reacted to each other as they've passed over the years. And my God, is that vulnerable? Like, the people that have owned pets are know each other on sight in a certain regard, but people that have owned pets long enough for them to pass from old age, especially, like that's a whole different level to it.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people who have had pets, but then they got rid of them before the worst started happening. Not usually because they gave up on the animal, but because like they had life experiences that prevented them from continuing. Like, they went to college or whatever, and so they'd leave their pets home with their parents, and their parents actually went through the loss while they were, halfway across the country or whatever. But no, yeah. So actually being there with the pet day to day and watching the decline, and then watching when you have multiple pets, what happens to the survivors after one passes away. Like, That's a skill. That is something that I don't think people understand. Like, they're affected, and they're not affected the way we're affected. They're affected in very different ways, and they show it in very different ways. And animal to animal, it'll be different.
Absolutely. And I'll be honest, like when we do branch back out into pet ownership, I'm gonna look up this article and look at ways to help pets deal with grief and try and take action in that regard, because there were some really amazing like ideas and implementations that were I was read in this article about helping pets get through grief. And it was I was floored, honestly, by
Well, then if that's what you want to do, you know what you're going to need to learn how to do, right?
No, what?
Make a
Play the guitar.
new list
What?
so that you can save this list in a special, or save this article in a special list on Medium that you can come back to and know what it's
Okay.
for.
So what you're talking about is being able to retain. I got you. Understood.
Well, because like
Okay.
when we were going over these articles, I was like, yeah, you could make different lists, and if it's public, then blah blah blah. And like, you kind of gave me this look like, why would I ever actually make a list? Doesn't it have a list? It's got this one list. Why would I ever need another one? How dare you?
I don't even use the list that's available to
Yeah,
me,
I
like,
know. I know.
because I live so much in the poet, in the moment that I just don't even. I'm like, if I'm not reading it right now, then there's almost no chance that I read it. So I haven't. I also, it's possible that I might, go like Surge and go too crazy with it, get too big with it,
Look, you
and
don't
then
need
feel.
to go that far. Just one secondary list so that it's a separate place. And then you can use your regular reading list for things that like are for the podcast or whatever that you take them off the list and it filters out. But have
I
one that's
understand.
just like, I'm just gonna put really good shit in here and read it again someday when I think about, oh, I want to come back to that article.
I understand what you're talking about, absolutely. I was going to get a little bit more vulnerable for a minute there, but I
Oh,
don't know
I'm
if I should.
sorry. I'm sorry.
No, no,
Yeah,
no, no,
no.
no. You
Don't let me
didn't stop.
stop you.
You didn't stop anything.
Sturge feels attacked. I
I
make
understand,
great use of the
absolutely.
list feature on Medium. You do, Sturge, but see, not like most people can't read several hundred articles in a day and actually understand what they've said. So, like, I can't put you as the bar.
I would genuinely feel an element of responsibility to everything I added to a list. You're right, though, that a list of stuff that I've already read that I want to refer back to in the future would probably hold a lot less of that responsibility on me.
Yeah,
So
why? I was
you're
gonna say,
right that that kind of list would be good.
what's the responsibility that it would hold on you if nobody knows that the list exists but you? Like, you're the only one that knows that this list even exists. What responsibility would you have to it?
Doing the right thing, being a good
What's
boy.
the right thing?
Whatever my internal madness tells me is the right thing. Or maybe whatever my inner demon won't yell at me for. Maybe.
So
But,
you,
like,
but you
I'm
don't
getting.
have anything right now that's the right thing to do.
In this moment,
Yeah.
just continue the podcast to the best of my ability. That's what this
Very in
moment
the
is all
moment.
about.
Okay, gotcha. They're talking about mimosa days. I don't know what mimosa days are. I don't know what that is. Is that a
No, I
book?
don't
Is that
think
a,
so.
oh, it's, oh, they're a writer. Okay.
It's an author, yeah.
I have not seen mimosa days. I'll have to look
Interesting.
into them. Because if you're both saying that they're awesome, then obviously they're somebody that I want to know and read.
Yeah, we should definitely check them out.
You ready? You ready to move on to the next one? The next one's the hard hitter. Like you'd think this one was, because this one was pretty deep, but the next one.
Yeah. Well, Ute's article was delightful and impactful, and I appreciated it so much. So, yeah, let's move on.
I refuse to maracas that, specifically because I know Ben did it. Okay, moving on. So the heavy hitter was by Darren Weir. I hope I'm saying his name right. It could be Weir, I guess. And it's called Losing My Mom, One Memory at a Time, Helping a Loved One Through Dementia.
Yeah, and this is heavy. This is absolutely heavy. Because, I mean, a lot of people in the country and in the world have had to deal with, have had to live through a relative having dementia. And it made me cry too. I read this one aloud as well, and I didn't get all the way through it before my voice broke multiple times.
Didn't you have a grandparent that had dementia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I, look, I read through Darren's article here. We read through Darren's article, and it was like you can feel the relationship between him and his grandma. You can really tell that, like, there was a closeness there that I don't really know that I can say that I felt with either of my grandmas, to be honest. I loved them both, and, you know, I had little nicknames, and we had little things that we did at where I was a kid that made, you know, good memories and whatever. Like, I don't like to claim to anything, right? So I just don't know. But yeah, one of my grandmas had a decline through dementia, Alzheimer's.
I think when she started to decline, she actually, like, from what I gathered, she actually sort of pulled back out of your life and stopped trying to initiate contact. Like,
no, well, it wasn't even like she didn't initiate contact with anybody. Everybody went to her after.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what I mean. I think she, once she started declining, she didn't want to initiate contact. She just kind of wanted to fade out of everybody's life, because, like, that's what older people tend to do. My grandpa did that same thing. They're just like, it hurts other people less if I pull back. And this story, this was somebody, I don't know that she, like, meant, she didn't try to pull back, because I think it happened over a much shorter period of time than what you experienced.
Yeah.
But, like, these were grown adults already by the time she even got the diagnosis. And so they were already, they had such a bond already formed that, like, they couldn't let her fade into the distance. And that, like, you can feel that through the whole reading of the article.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes very in depth into, like, what was required to care the best that they could for their mother in a situation where the brain is not relaying the same types of information anymore.
And one thing I really liked about this is that it kept itself right before the line of going too far into vulnerability by touching on the traumatic things in such a way that if you had experienced them, you'd know exactly what he was talking about. But if you hadn't, you weren't traumatized by it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really just masterful. As far as vulnerability goes, I have no notes.
Right. Absolutely. It was an expression of what it was like to be a loved one of that experience, and almost like an honoring of his mother. And it was great. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Go check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd have to say, no offense to any of the other writers that we've mentioned, this one is probably my favorite of this episode.
Yeah.
Just because of the impact that it had with every single word. It's just marvelous. Okay. You're ready to move on to the last one?
Yeah, I feel like we could have spent more time on it, but it's so, I mean, like, yeah, it's hard to know what else to say about it, honestly.
This one is hard to go more in depth, because we're both just kind of like, just go read it. Like, we can't possibly say anything better than what he has already said.
Yep.
It's just difficult to say more, because he's already put it out there in the right way. Like, 10 out of 10, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Do you mind if I introduce the next one?
Sure, go ahead.
So, this next one is by Molly Davies, and I found this author because they recently checked out my stuff, and I was just kind of like interested into people that had recently checked me out and look and like whatever the word, it's not subscribed here, is it? It's just
Follow.
followed.
It's
There
just
it is.
follow.
Yeah. And like,
I think it's subscribed to your email.
actually, yeah, this person subscribed to my email, so I checked them out just to see what they had written,
I
and they
knew
did.
Sturge was going to say something about that.
Wink,
I check you out every day, mortal.
wink. Hell yeah. So, but yeah, I just went to check this person out, along with a couple of others, and like, and I ran into a what I thought was a very interesting description of an experience that she had at the beach, and I don't know. Help me out. I'm kind of running out of steam.
So, the other two, it's pretty obvious like where the loss is, but this one, the loss is implicit. And it's implicit in a way where it isn't really there. Because like it's this great story about and she goes into like details that really help bring it alive of her being on the beach and then stepping on something and then this pain just shooting through her leg that she has never felt before, and the fact that she's had multiple jellyfish stings and this was not that, and like went through that and the experience of the lifeguard coming and everything. There was one thing I felt that was missing from making this the best story that it could be, and that was that moment that I can almost guarantee that I know she had while she was experiencing that horrible pain, where she was thinking in her mind, am I going to lose my leg? Is this something that is actually hurting me? Am I going to die? I don't know which thoughts or all of the thoughts, but some thoughts about what she was going to physically lose from having this experience. I can almost guarantee she had something of that nature in there, and it wasn't part of the story.
Right, because she was really good at really showing us the feeling of like, I've felt pain before and I've
Yes.
gotten through it and I feel confident that I can get through anything, but this experience is giving me fear. This experience is more than I expected and more than I feel like I can handle. But you know, the what will this do to me was just this the step that we didn't take. And that's, you know, every writer writes their own story. It doesn't, but like, but that one additional step of that, like how it penetrated the fear parts of us, is that vulnerable bit that will have a reader potentially in tears. You know what I mean?
Right. Well,
So.
or at least that they can relate to it enough to be internally nodding and having some emotional connection to an experience that they had. And that's where I find that the loss of stating, her feelings about what she might lose as a result of this, that was the what I felt was the connective bridge to people that maybe they haven't been to a beach ever, or maybe they've never hurt themselves on a beach, so they don't really relate to this. But everybody has had that moment where they've experienced such dramatic pain that they have those thoughts in their head of like, what's going to happen? What is happening to me now, and what is going to happen from this in the future? Everybody's had something like that. And so that was something that I felt could bridge to more people, that they were reading her story and were enraptured by her experience, but they weren't connecting to it from their own experiences. That one tiny addition could bring them in and just rope them in for the long haul too. But other than that one thing, it was a fantastic story, and we're ending on it because it has such a light-hearted note to it that like it just leaves you feeling better for having read it.
Right, absolutely. And with that, you know, implied sense of loss that ultimately, I mean, I don't want to ruin the story, so maybe I won't go into any further detail, but you know, but yeah, that's what really helped us to round this out, 'cause we got really, really deep for the first two, you know?
Right.
Like really, really vulnerable, and so it's nice to have an experience that like has an immediate sort of emotion attached to it, but it's not something that's impactful over the long haul, you know? This is now just a nice story. The pain is in the past. Does that make sense?
Right. And I want to reiterate, like, I don't want it to sound like I'm just kind of ragging on this story. This story had me from the first line to the end. This story was very, very good in my opinion. But like we included it in here because I was like, well, it's missing the loss. It's missing the element of being afraid of losing something from the pain, and that one thing is like the only thing I would really change about it. Not that it has to have that element to it. I'm not an expert or anything, but that's how it fits into the theme. See, we've come full circle.
Full circle, absolutely. And having a perspective doesn't mean you're trying to override
No,
someone else. Absolutely. And I will say, I think this was the first article that I like
Yeah,
put
you
forth
brought
that
this
we
one.
talked about. And I'm like so nervous now. Like honestly, like I didn't expect to be so nervous about that. Like I hope I did okay, honestly.
it hard? Isn't it hard bringing the article that you found and being like, hey, everybody, look, this is the thing that I found. Is it okay? Does it fit? Is it okay what I said about it?
Right? Exactly.
Yeah,
Who
the
knows?
more you do it, the less that fear really overwhelms or anything. But I get it. Totally
Yeah.
get it.
Right on. Cool.
I
Hot dog and whatever, you know?
guess we'll go here. At some point in the near future, I need to come up with some like better promo stuff to say on the podcast, be a little more professional sounding about it. For right now, all I've got is go to themonsterrally.com, and that's what I got.
Yeah, and when you get there, you can check out, I think you can check out the Medium articles, right? You can also check out the Substack, and I think there's even the Buy Me a Coffee stuff on there or whatever it's called now, right?
Yeah, I don't actually have a direct link from the website to the articles that we talk about. I guess that's something I should probably figure out.
Whoops.
Yeah.
My bad. I didn't
No,
mean
but
to.
that's something that's a great idea. I didn't even think about it. That's maybe by the time this comes out, maybe I will be able to add it. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'll work on it. I'm not promising anything, but I will work on it and we'll see what I can pump out.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to bring something else up just because, you know, we do a vulnerable podcast and I think that I can include transparency in that. I
Yeah.
don't know if we ever said anything out loud, but we're releasing these episodes now on the Monday after we record. We record on a Thursday and we release them on a Monday. And that's just to give us time to not be overwhelmed with trying to get shit done so quickly.
Yeah, we were trying to just get it out as quickly as possible. Like at first, I think we were just like recording it on Thursday and then uploading it on Thursday. And then we went from uploading it
Thursday to Friday.
Thursday to Friday. And then a lot of stuff was happening with you. And you were like, I just don't know that I could do it that quickly. And so we did it like this Saturday, sometimes Sunday business. Now we're just like, you know what? We're just going to say flat Monday. Whatever speed we need to take it at, that's plenty of time for us to do what we need to do to get it finalized.
Right, and maybe listening to us be a couple of doofuses for an hour-ish or so might help a Monday feel a little bit less like a Monday if Mondays are onerous to you, if you happen to be Garfield.
Yeah, because we're bringing that Thursday energy to your Monday.
Right? Like tomorrow's Friday, not for you, but for
But
us.
for us, and you know what? The next Friday is right around the corner. It's not that far away.
That's true. That's true. Oh, and you know, for our lovely friends in chat, Sturge and Ben, it's also Friday tomorrow for them.
That's also true. So, yeah, how are you feeling
I'm
about
feeling
this
pretty.
being the end of the main episode?
I kind of feel like we, We did pretty good. I think that we're both a little low energy today, and so maybe it's a little shorter than it's been in the past, but I think we covered some good shit and saw some good vulnerability.
Awesome.
Heck yeah. Do you want me to do the whole
Yeah, you.
closing? Okay.
Can we start with
Well,
you?
dear listener slash watcher slash chatter, I'm eternally mortal. It's been a delight having you here and listening to us talk about some stuff. And I really hope you find smiles this day.
And I'm the Accidental Monster. You can find us both on medium.com and follow yourself always.